It's Otome time.
It is Otome time. It's Otome o'clock.
I'm looking at my watch and it says, it's Otome time.
I'm looking at my clock and it says it's Ryan time, but that's basically the same thing, right?
Similar, I'd say. Not the exact same, but you know.
That's not going to make sense to anybody who doesn't know that I have a clock that says Ryan time.
I mean, pretty self-explanatory.
They know, yeah. That's
look at
fair.
The time. It's Ryan time.
It's Ryan time, baby.
Either way, hello, welcome to this week's episode of the Season Lame Check of OVA. It's a podcast where we have conversations about video games, anime, and manga. Hello, I'm Jared, joined as always by Doc Allen, Lady M.
Hello.
This is episode number 435, and like I said, it's Otome time. Al's going to tell us about another Otome game.
Another Otome game.
It's called Despera Drops.
Mm-hmm. And this one is notable in particular for one reason.
Only one. And that,
well, I mean, there are other things, but I mean that this is one that people were real excited about it getting localized because of the character artist.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Yusuke Kozaki?
Yes.
Who is most well known for Fire Emblem Fates and Awakening?
Fire Emblem.
Yay.
Yeah, you can like the main gal here on this one picture. Her face is very Fire Emblem coated.
I mean, the guy, Ash, with the silver hair is also, like,
he
looks a lot like Krom.
Yeah.
But he also, I don't know what gender this artist is. We're just going to say they. They also did Eye of the Somnium Files.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. But yeah, you look at that and you're like, ah, yes, that is Fire Emblem. So that was a big reason why people were excited that this one was getting localized. And it was also part of the reason why I was excited to play it, because I was like, oh, that's good art. That's interesting. Not that there's normally bad art, but it's different art. So yeah, the art was big. And it's got some of the, some of the usual suspects when it comes to voice actors.
Mm-hmm.
Although you mentioned one that was wild that I didn't realize.
I do that sometimes.
Yeah. That is voice actress for Sally Del Testa, who we'll talk about Sally. But yeah, apparently one of Chica's sisters in Love Live Sunshine.
Yes.
And Campanella in Trails.
Mm-hmm.
In Japanese, obviously.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is interesting.
Also, I guess like I'm guessing there's an insert song that has vocals in this, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the person or the group that does that is Zwei. They did the opening theme for a game called Robotics Notes.
Oh, shoot, really?
And then did one of did the ending theme for Steins Gate Zero's anime.
Wow.
So there you go.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've definitely got some heavy hitters here.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right off the bat that this game did not feel very Otome, which is fine, I guess, but there are generally like 16 chapters per route.
Mm-hmm.
And the individual routes with the characters that you're dating didn't start till 13. So 13 through 16 is the romance route. So a significant chunk of this game is spent on the common route, which obviously you'll get like some romance sprinkled here and there because you're trying to like get the love catches and all that fun stuff. But like,
right,
it mostly just feels like a found family story, which I love those, as you are well aware.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the romances was like, I don't buy this at all. Sure. But like as the whole crew coming together, being cohesive, being buddies, all that, I'm like, I am so sold on this. This is great. Yes. Except for one guy. He was a butt most of the time. But, you know, I wonder if you can guess which one it is. Who do you think?
Definitely not the one with your favorite hairstyle.
Oh, no. I still can't believe they gave the German man that hairstyle. No, it's actually the guy with the hat.
Hat man.
Hat man. Hamel is his name, but anyway, he's a from start to finish, basically. But yeah, it was just a fun found family story, and then like there was some romance tacked in on the end. Some of them felt more natural than others, or more cohesive, I guess, than others. But yeah, it was weird that it didn't feel like a tome most of the time that I was playing it. It just felt like, hey, I'm playing a little adventure story with my buds while we're running from the law. And also a cult.
And also a cult.
Yeah. So there's that. I guess I should give you the like backstory of this, I suppose. So you play as Mika, who is voiced, by the way, which rules. That was so cool. But you play as Mika, and she is a Japanese student who is studying in Italy, and she's visiting Rome with a friend to celebrate that she finished her exams. And she's just kind of, you know, doing her thing in Rome, wandering around, bumping into all these people that you will eventually see again. But then she gets a message from one of her friends to go to a restaurant, and that they were going to meet up there and have food. So she goes, and there's an old man that meets her there. And he's like, "Hi, I know about your ability, and I need your help." And she's like, only my mom's supposed to know about this ability, so I don't know what's going on here." Because, if she touches your hand, then she can basically like read your mind, see your emotions, see some of your past, that kind of stuff. But she has to touch your hand. So, he was saying, you know, I need your help. She's weirded out by this, but then he says, you know, I need you to tell me the name of the person I was in love with. I can't remember her name, and you know, I can't keep living like this. And so she touches his hand, tells him the name. He feels very relieved, and then he gets murdered in front of her.
Oops.
Oops. So she gets arrested as a suspect for murdering him, even though it is very clear that she could not have done it. But anyway, that's just how it goes. And then you are in a police van. You're getting transported with all these other people who are criminals of some degree. So you have I forget if they call him Jib or Gib. Either way, German man. We have German man who claims that he was arrested for basically improper ownership of guns, like having guns when you're not supposed to have guns.
Right.
Ash Meyer, who is our gray man, he was arrested for assault. Hamil was, well, he actually introduces you as like Frank Casanova is what he tells you his name is. He's arrested for being a con man. Camus Einhard, he was arrested because he exploded a bomb in his house.
Oops.
Yep. Rami French, help me. Carrier.
Oops. Sure.
Okay. He is a pickpocket, so he got arrested for that. And then Sally Del Testa got arrested for hacking.
Hacker voice, I'm in.
Hacker voice him in. Improper hacking. And so everybody's in here. You're all chained together. You're in this police van. Nobody wants to be there, obviously. And then they hear like this weird boom sound, and the van turns on its side, and they can get out. And then they go and look at the drivers. They're like, oh, that they're not doing too hot. And then they realize, like, hey, we have to get away from this van because otherwise people are gonna come get us, and this is our chance. And then the van explodes. So now they really gotta go. which Mika feels really bad at this point because she's like, I just let those men die. And everyone's like, literally, what could you have done? They were stuck in the van and then it exploded. Like, there's nothing you could have done to save them. But they run off, they find an abandoned house, and then basically this is how the game progresses is you spend a lot of time hopping city to city in Europe, running away from the law because you're all wanted. And for the first like third of it, Mika feels really, really bad and is like, oh no, I'm doing all these things that are illegal and I shouldn't do this. And everybody is like, oh my God, please shut up. Please. Like, we're doing what we have to do to survive. Like, it's not that big of a deal. But yeah, they go on the run. They end up stealing a truck of some sort and then a motorcycle with a sidecar, and they're going to different places. Hopping around trying to keep laying low, and of course, anytime they go somewhere, something happens, so they have to keep running. So that's the gist of like the plot. But the gameplay is actually interesting because there are these like missions that you have to do that you as Mika, the protagonist, have like she pulls up her phone basically, and you have to monitor the cameras that Sally hacks into. So you can tell people like how to proceed through this mission that they're doing, whatever it ends up being, whether it's like stealing a key from somebody or stealing a crown or trying to remember what the other ones are. I don't remember what the other ones are. But they're all over the place. But basically, crimes.
Yay.
Yay. But justified crimes for the most part. Like one of them is like going to an underground casino and trying to get money to fuel your being on the run. But you end up getting like a weird dude who's like fetishizing the fact that Mika's Japanese and is like, what if I bet that I can have this woman? Because I bet she's gonna be like a what a weirdo to say about Japanese, like submissive wife kind of girl. She's gonna be demure, and I'm like, ooh. So I was kind of glad to see him get beat up. I didn't see him because he was a voice, but you know, you get the point. Oh, there's another one where you have to like break into a mansion and try and steal a deed to an orphanage. So yeah, you have these little missions, and it's actually really, really fun to do. But the positive thing about it is you only have to do them once, because like I said, a chunk of these is chapter like 1 through 12 is the common route, and so if you're going back through to get the other routes, you can just skip the missions and skip a lot of time doing that,
Nice.
which is super nice. Thank you. Speaking of quality of life, they also have the really nice feature of you being able to like skip to the next choice or next unread text automatically, which is rad. Love that. You don't have to sit there and do like the like red skip stuff. You're just like, hey, I need to go to the next thing, and it'll just take you there. So that's great. Love that. But yeah. That's really it. And she's like learning about them as you go along and do these things. So you learn that, you know, they can be problematic at points, but maybe they're not so problematic. Maybe. Some of them are so problematic. That's just how it is. So yeah. You end up running into a cult. And you find out that this cult basically like runs Europe. And that they are upset about the European Union. That they feel like the countries should be like split individually because they have their own culture and their own languages, and why should we all be one thing? Blah 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 blah.
Oh, finally, Brexit the video game.
Basically, yeah. And like they're going against like politicians. They try to like assassinate a politician at one point, and we as the crew have to stop the assassination of like the president of the European Union, which is wild.
I don't think that's a thing.
I don't think so either, but you know what? We're just rolling
All
with
right. I guess, like, going on, doesn't it say here somewhere? Oh, yes, this is 2028, so we're 3 years into the future, so, you
Oh,
know.
so maybe by then we have a president of the
Yeah,
European
of course,
Union.
that's all going to get worked out.
Oh man. So yeah, you have this whole like plot thing happening there, but also like it's a weird religious cult. There's this guy who I'm blanking on his name. There's this thing called words in here that like gives you clues on what things are. Let me see if I can find his nickname real quick. 'Cause everybody has a nickname in that cult.
It's me, Mr. Colt.
Mr. Colt.
Yeah, see?
Chancellor. Chancellor. So Chancellor is kind of running the show of this cult. And every time you run into anybody there, they're like, hey, we need the acolyte. And they're like pointing at you. And she's like, why am I the acolyte? This is weird. I don't understand. There's also a little girl who is, she has a name too, but I not a name. She has an actual name too, but she has a nickname. I don't remember
Most
what it
people do
is.
have actual names, you're right.
Right. Anyway, her real name is Crystal. Crystal. Chris is basically like Crystal, but not. But yeah, they're part of a group called Crown, and you find out that the issue is that Christiel, she may or may not have had like religious angel view type thing that she got to like talk to an angel. But then she has since been super, super traumatized and stopped speaking. And so they want Mika, who they call the acolyte, to hold her hand to give the visions of God from her, basically, because she can't speak anymore because she's traumatized. So yeah, that's crazy. That's big time crazy. That's a whole thing. You also have two people following you around called Child Nurse and House Steward, and they're basically trying to kill everybody around you, but they want you. So,
Right. Great.
yeah. So there's you know, a lot of running, a lot of bonding, a lot of like goofy stuff. You get to learn about some of the things with these people, like as you go along. Like you hear a little bit more about Rami why he does like his pickpocket stuff. He was an orphan. You get more of his story, obviously, in his route. Camus was like Camus? Camus? Anyway, he's basically like aristocracy. But he's also a weeb. So, and like not like how some people call me and you a weeb. Like this guy's a weeb. Like we would call him a weeb and we mean it in a derogatory way. That's this guy. That's this guy. Kind of how we say gamers with a capital G, you know?
Yeah.
He's that kind of guy. He's like constantly talking about like his anime and manga and like how he's like love. I forget. He basically calls him like Power Rangers, but it has like this Love Earth title thing. And he's also like super weird about Mika because he's like, oh, this is the first time I'm talking to a woman and she's Japanese. Can you translate manga for me and then also love me? And I'm just like, ugh.
So you have this guy who's just like super duper weeb, and then you have the racist guy. What a dichotomy of people here.
Yeah, the Hat Man's racist. Sometimes it's problematic that our main character is Japanese.
Yeah.
Not because of any fault of her own, but because
No.
people are freaking weirdos.
Yes.
Sally has a little bit of it. She's like, can you tell me about Harajuku? I wanna hear about the fashion. Can you tell me about the Japanese fashion? I need to go to see the Japanese fashion. It's like, slow down, roll it back. Chill. And the whole time Mika's like, I'm not really into that kind of fashion. You know, I'm aware of it, but like not everybody who lives in Japan does that, you know? Like we do have different tastes. Sally's like, no, I must see the Japanese fashion.
Tell me the fashion.
Tell me about the fashion. So like several of them are really problematic about her being Japanese. I'm trying to think of like what other stuff is like a big thing worth mentioning. I did mention you have to like steal a crown at one point. You're tasked by the chancellor and his crew to like steal this big famous crown because it's supposed to do something.
You're tasked by crown to steal a crown?
Yeah. It's very barely touched on in like the actual plot what this crown's for, so it's still unclear to me what this crown was actually for. And you do like as you're on the run at one point, Mika's like suffering. She's going through it because she's not used to this kind of lifestyle. And Howell's like, let's just leave her behind. Like, we don't need her. And she gets sad because she wakes up and overhears that. And then Crown tries to come and get her, and there are a bunch of like helicopters and people come in with weaponry and all that. And she ends up ending up she ends up in a cave or something to that extent with whoever your love interest is at the point. And that's when she reveals to them, like, well, the reason they're after me is because of my ability to like touch people and sense what they're feeling and what they remember and all that. Like that's why. And everybody that she talks to is like, oh, that's it. Okay, cool. That's not a big deal. So she stops wearing gloves after that so that she can, I guess, feel normal with everybody. 'Cause then they go back and they tell everybody, like, hey, this is why they're after me. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. Mika is also very self-sacrificial. There are a few times where she tries to like give herself up to either the police or a crown or a journalist, all kinds of different people. And I'm like, girl, stop. Stop it. They're not helping you. And one time they like leave Mika behind. The rest of the crew leaves Mika behind. And they're like, we're just going to go kill that guy. Because if we kill that guy, then this is done. We don't have to worry about it anymore. Which is wild. They obviously don't succeed at it. But like, there's like, yeah, we know where he lives. Let's just go kill him. That's cool, right? We're already criminals. Why not?
Let's go.
Yeah. There's also this like, there's the normal journalist lady who follows you, and she's, her name's Rebecca, and she's like trying to help you, but also is like very much on the side of the law type thing. And there's this other man named Carlos who is like the shady journalist, and nobody trusts anything he says, but he still tries to help you sometimes. So you have those two popping around sometimes too. But yeah, I really, really liked the common route. I thought it was a lot of fun. I had fun popping around the cities with these people. I had fun just getting to like do these missions, getting to know them, that kind of thing. Again, Mika was a little weird at times because she was like, oh no, we're doing crimes, or like, oh no, I need to give myself up. But she gets better, at least. So that's good. I think. The problem that I have with this is that you end up like kidnapping. I say kidnapping. That's not the right word. You end up taking Crystal from Crown and trying to like show her what normal life is like, and like take her to go get ice cream and things like that, you know? But then Crown ends up getting her back and also taking Mika. And then this is where the branch happens, where like whatever dude you get, you get, and they help you off the train. But like, they go from really caring about this kid and like what happens to her and all that to just not in most of the routes.
Whoops.
I think the only routes to even address the fact that she existed after that point is in Rami's route and in the True route. Everyone else is like, well, gotta go, bye. And so you just kind of like resign this poor little girl to her fate with this cult in most of the routes.
Whoops.
And I felt kind of bad about that. Especially because everybody seemed like so on board to protect her, and then like, never mind. Got other things to do. We gotta make out. Come on. Oh, okay. Alrighty. That's interesting. So yeah. I did this in a particular order. I did this in the order of I dated Sally first because I felt like something was up with Sally, and they very much are not subtle with the whole thing that's up with Sally. Like the whole time they're just kind of beating you over the head with like, Sally's got kind of a hard chest, or Sally's kind of tall, or Sally's really into soccer. Because apparently women can't be into soccer.
Boy.
Turns out that my whole like liking soccer a few years ago is fake. Women can't like soccer.
Yeah, that was just a phase, clearly.
Yeah, it was just a phase. I was just trying to get men, obviously. But like they're not subtle about what they're doing here.
Right.
And so that's kind of disappointing that like you have a route that seems like it's going to be like a romance route with a woman.
And they're like, psych.
They're like, no, it's just a traumatized guy. Yay. Like, there's even a part where, like, Sally comes out of the shower topless and is, like, toweling off her hair or their hair, I guess. Mika's like, something's not right here. And Sally's like, no, everything's fine. Everything's normal. I don't see why you're, what are you upset about? We got the same stuff. Mika's like, no, no, we don't. No, we don't have the same stuff. So there's a lot of that weird panic in this. But the whole thing is that, like I said, Sally's a hacker. And Sally like plays it off as like, oh, you know, I've done some minor hacking, it's fine, whatever. But you find out that they were like in a hacking competition that, not like an official one, obviously, like one that was like, here's another hacker and they're giving you a task and you gotta beat them at it, blah, 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 type thing. And it turns out that that other hacker is like part of Crown. And they were like breaking into banks and things like that, which, like, yeah, obviously you can't do that. And then one day, Sally was told, like, oh, it's impossible to break into the security system of this one building. If you could do that, then, you know, we'll pay you a lot of money. So Sally's like, oh, okay, cool. I'll do that. That sounds great. I love money and hacking. But turns out that it was a day that I think it was a birthday. Birthday, I think. Anyway, Sally has a twin, and Sally's twin was out shopping with the parental units of Sally and Sally's sister. And the parents were like at a cafe or something, and Sally's sister was out shopping, and Sally like stopped the elevator of the department store type thing. People panicked and ended up like trampling Sally's sister to death, which I don't think can happen in an elevator, but like, sure. So the only casualty of this entire thing was Sally's sister, who was named Sally, by the way. The sister is named Sally. So after that, Sally, whose real name is Uria Deltessa, ends up basically like adopting the like clothing preferences and personality of Sally, the sister, and like basically had a mental break and forgot that Uria existed for the most part. And until like Crown basically made it obvious of like, hey, by the way, you're not who you think you are. And they go to Sally's, the actual Sally's grave, and it's like, oh, yep. So then there's this whole thing of like, well, do I stay Sally or do I go to being Uria? Like, what do I do here? And for the time being, because like, be whoever you feel comfortable with. So Sally continues to be Sally for most of the route. Yeah, you have to take down their hacker. You end up taking down the hacker who's like a 9-year-old boy. If you get the good ending, then Sally's able to overcome the fear of elevators and go up in the elevator with you, to go take down this 9-year-old boy hacker. To save the city from bombs. Ah!
Bombs.
I think it's Milan at this point. So yeah, if you get the good ending, you're able to go together, you stop the kid. Everything's fine. You're cleared of all your charges at this point. Sally is basically taken under the wing of I think they call him like Europol or something like that. It's basically like Interpol, but like European Union police.
Right, right, right.
I don't know. I don't know if that's even real. But they're basically like, hey, so you'll still be monitored and you obviously can't do bad things anymore, but if you hack for us, we'll just, let it slide what you did before and you don't have to go to prison.
Europol is real.
Is it? Okay. So Sally's like, all right, I'll take that deal. That sounds legit. 'cause who wouldn't, really, given that situation? So in the good ending, like y'all go shopping together, and at one point, Sally like goes into a store and dresses like a boy to see like how Mika feels about it. And then they smooch. In the bad ending, Sally is unable to get on the elevator with you. And so you're not really able to stop the hacker doing his thing. Mika is like in danger of I think it's the explosion or something. And so Sally like throws themselves on top of Mika, ends up getting hit by like some debris, and loses their memory. And so Mika like goes to see Sally in the hospital, and like the nameplate is Uria, and they don't remember anything. They're like, hey, do you know who I am? Do you know what's going on? And they have like short hair now. They feel confused, and Mika's upset because she feels like they weren't given a choice on who they could be. So yeah, there's the bad ending. If you do the after story of the good ending, then Mika and Sally are living together, and they it's weird because like they kissed, but then they are like dancing around the fact that like there's something there, and then they were like sleeping in the same bed, and then they decided they can't sleep in the same bed anymore. Sally's like, I guess I gotta move out or something, and Mika is like, no, don't do that. What if I get us two Japanese futons and we'll just sleep next to each other? How's that? So they
All
do
right.
that. Yep, they do that, and then Sally's basically like, can I just be both? Like, is it okay for me to be both Sally and Uria? And Mika's like, yeah. I'm like, maybe we should do therapy because you shouldn't have two people in one body. But that's fine. Whatever. That's how we're rolling. That's how we're rolling. So it wasn't terrible. But it wasn't good either. It feels kind of like ooh that they're doing this like hey we can't have you date a girl so we gotta give this person trauma so they dress like a girl kind of thing just give just do it just man up and do it come on
Come on.
come on So then I dated the racist man. I met Luis, who is not named Frank Casanova. And he is insufferable from start to finish. He's very, very weird about this whole thing. But basically in his route, you find out that like he's half Japanese. And he thought that his mom abandoned him and his dad, and went back to Japan. And he's been in Spain. And then his dad died, and so he had to go to an orphanage. And people made fun of him for being half Japanese. And he's just like, rawr. So he ended up becoming a con man and specifically targeting only Japanese women to like take their stuff and like ruin their lives, that kind of thing. So that's not great. And he's like, yeah, but now I think differently about Japanese people because you're a woman and you're Japanese and I'm in love with you. I'm like, ooh. Ooh. Oh, okay. He's still sleazy. He's kind of gross. I'm gonna be real with you, I don't remember a whole lot of story because I kind of like zoned it out. I know that his mom dies. They go and see his mom. They find out where she is. She's still in Spain. But she was attacked by Crown and she's been in a coma since he was a child. She never actually left them. Whoa. And then Mika uses her ability to like read how his mom felt and like found out that she like really loved her family and was so excited about having a kid and all, and then like got shot by Crown and has been like this. And then she dies.
Welp.
Yep. So he's like, oh, well, I just found out that my mom's alive-ish. And I found out how she feels, and it was never an abandonment thing. And, you know, now I've kind of feel bad because I've been like scamming all these Japanese women for no good reason. And then she's dead. Okay, well then. So, they're going to deal with Crown. I forget exactly what was going on, but they end up going to like the top of a skyscraper, and the plan with the crew, the fun family crew, is that Camo's gonna like build out a mini bomb that could like knock the floor out from Mika and try and like make it seem like she's dead, so that Crown will stop pursuing her, basically. Like a bomb big enough to make things look gnarly, but to get her away, and they like draw blood from her to try and like make it look real and all that fun stuff. But then Mika and Havel decide like, hey, we're gonna do this other plan instead of what we told them, and they do this like big love confession on top of the roof, and they're like, oh man, you know, we can't be apart. There's this like Romeo and Juliet thing here. And then a helicopter comes by and picks them up. And it's Carlos, and he's like, hey, what's up, kids? How you doing? Oh, I remember why. There's this weird little man. And I say weird little man, and he's actually a very large man. But he's a dude who is part of Crown, who is a former serial killer, and he can kill people with his fingers. And he's after her. And so they think that if she dies, that he will stop coming after her. That's it. So they get on this helicopter. Carlos is like, yo, what's up? How you doing? Let's do this thing. So in the good end, and again, good is relative, the weirdo Crown man like jumps onto the helicopter and like comes along with them and ends up like finger stabbing Carlos. And Carlos is like, well, that's it for me, I guess. I'm feeling like I'm gonna die. This kind of sucks. I'm still driving this helicopter though, so you know, let's do this thing. And the plan is for Mika and Hamill to like get off of the helicopter and then crash the helicopter to like fake their deaths, and then they are gonna flee to Japan. Which like putting this man in Japan is a bad idea. Don't subject Japanese people to this. And so you know that's what they do in in that. Carlos dies, the other man dies. So there are two bodies and a lot of Mika's blood at the scene. So they're like, ah, okay, well, I guess they're dead, even though, like, one of them is very obviously a man. I'll get back to that. So they leave, they go to Japan, and the good ending, they end up like going to a like hot spring hotel thing together, and he's like, I don't know how to use chopsticks and I don't know Japanese food or anything, but let me figure this out because I'm gonna be living here now and I gotta know what we're doing. He also like gets them some wedding rings, but they can't actually get married because they have fake papers and all that fun stuff, so they're just pretending. In the bad end, instead of this whole situation happening with like both of them getting off the helicopter, I guess Carlos dies. I don't remember what happened, but Hommel's basically like, all right, I gotta drive the helicopter. I know how to do this. And so here's my hat. Take care of my hat. Keep it safe. You get off the helicopter and I'm gonna crash this thing, but I'll get off safely, I promise. I'll do that. He does not do that.
Oh no.
And you find out that like his body and then a body of a Japanese woman was found in the helicopter. There was a lot of blood and all that. And they tested the blood and it was Mika, so the assumption is that it's Mika. It was his mom's body. He like got Carlos to go pick up his mom's body from like the care home that she was in so that they could put it on the helicopter and use it to fake Mika's death because they needed a Japanese woman to like die, quote unquote. So yeah, that's kind of messed up that he's like, well, let me just incinerate my mom's body here.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. So she ends up getting on the boat to Japan, and she still thinks that he's gonna come, and then he doesn't. And Carlos comes by, and he's, oh, Carlos is alive. So Carlos is fine because he comes. Jesus Christ, what was that? Did you hear that? What was that? Carlos comes by and gives a
Someone was excited Carlos is alive.
yeah. An audio recording of Hanno basically be like, hey, so sorry I didn't keep my promise. I'm actually dead. But I was in love with you and have fun in Japan.
Right, see you later.
Bye. So she's like, that's why he said to hold on to his hat that it was important to him. And okay. Cool.
Just like moving on.
Yeah, I sure. Sure. All right, you're gonna think this is crazy pants. One of the best routes is the German man.
Because he has his arm belts.
He does have those arm belts. Those are very of him. sorry. But he's got that like whack ass haircut and that like facial hair, and they're like, why don't we just make this man look as German as possible? I'm like,
Shitty
ooh.
haircut, nu metal, facial hair. This man's going through it.
He's also like way older than Mika. I think he's like,
No.
I think he's probably like 15 years older than her.
No.
Yeah, like the other ones, some of them are a little bit older, but for the most part, like there's not a huge age gap. I think Hamel and her have a little bit of an age gap that's like significant, but not as significant as this. But like he's well in his 30s and she's, in college. So I was ready to just dismiss this route entirely because like he looks like a neo-Nazi nu metal man and also he's too old for her. But he was actually kind of a sweet guy, and I hate that. Like, I want to forget the fact that he's so much older and looks like that. But I can't. Ugh. Also, the most damning part. Are you ready? He's a cop.
No.
Yep. He has so many strikes against him. And I'm like, buddy, how do you have like some of the sweetest moments and you're awful? How? But yeah, his whole thing is that he his whole like weapons charges thing is technically true, but also he's been charged with moita, that he supposedly murdered his cop partner, and then decided to flee with his guns and all that fun stuff. So part of it was true, but there's the murder part. So they end up like going back to his hometown to try and figure out like what was going on with the police there, because they find out that, remember that serial killer man I mentioned that has the finger stabbies? They see in the news him go into the police station during a press conference, and Jib Gib is like, that man's dead. I killed that man. I snipered him. How is he alive? So they have to go back to figure out like how the heck is this man still alive? Which, by the way, I guess he's like one of the top snipers in Germany or something for the cops. Didn't know the cops needed snipers, but I guess they do.
Have you been to America?
Well, yes, but I was hoping Germany was different. Not. You also find out that he has been married before, and Hummel like makes fun of him for that at one point. He's like, "Ah, oh, man, you haven't been with a woman in a long time, man. You divorced or what?" It's like, shut up. But yeah, he was married. His wife was trying to divorce him because he was too workaholic with his cop job. And at one point he was sent on a mission, and he was supposed to like take out a terrorist who had a bomb strapped to them. And so he sniped them, and then when he went to like go see what was going on, he found out, oh no, it was my wife.
My wife.
My wife. So he popped the head of his wife with a sniper.
Oops.
Oops. But it turns out that it was like a whole setup thing, that like it was set up as a way to punish him because he was like finding out that there was corruption in the police department. Wow. Who's
Shocker.
surprise?
Shocker.
Who's surprise? But it turns out that like part of the police department's working with Crown, which is why this one guy's alive, that they like faked the fact that he survived the sniping. And now he's alive, and he's got this like weird, like homoerotic fascination with Gib at this point of like, you tried to murder me and you came really close, but you didn't quite do it. Now I'm in love with you, and this is my love, and I want to kill you. And it's like, oh, oof. Chill out, my guy. So a lot of his route is trying to like reveal the corruption with the police department, figure out like who's the problematic person there. But also like before all of this happens, you end up getting like the one bed trope with them. That they like get a hotel room and they're like, oh no, there's only one bed. What do we do?
Suffer.
Yeah, basically. So you have a lot of him like being super awkward and not knowing what to do with her and all that fun stuff, which he is 15 years older than her, so sure, yes. But the turning point, there's a hair in my mouth, it's annoying. The turning point for this is basically that, like, at one point he goes like missing away from Mika, and she kind of like freaks out. She ends up going to the cemetery in the town, and finds him there after she had like read a letter and found out that like it was his wife's, like the day that he killed his wife or something. So he goes to the cemetery, finds him just like crying his eyes out there, and he like confesses that he's been feeling really terrible because he feels like he doesn't deserve Mika. And that he also is like, you know, my wife and I, we were basically done anyway, but like, you know, it sucks that I killed her. but he wants to be like absolved of the guilt of that so that he can like move on with Mika. And then they smooch while he's like crying at the cemetery. And she like moves into his house. And everything gets resolved like in chapter 15 for the most part, sort of. Because there's this one part where the serial killer man is like trying to take out Mika, and you basically have to like get him to trust himself and what he can do because the serial killer is like holding Mika as a
Hostage.
hostage, and she's like, you can shoot him. You don't have to shoot me. You can shoot him. I know you can do this. And he does, and man falls in the river and goes bye-bye. And so like it was really confusing to me because I'm like, why are we in chapter 15 and everything's resolved? Because we still have chapter 16. Like, oh, what is happening here? Because then they're like, okay, well, we'll just move into his house and he's gonna be a cop again, and we're gonna get married. Yay. So yeah. Most of chapter 16 is planning the wedding. So like Sally's gonna make your dress for you, and Rami's definitely not gonna steal anything to help you make this wedding. Nope. Nope. He's gonna earn it. So they're trying to help you like set up the wedding, and he's all super duper nervous about it and all that fun stuff. And yeah, if you get the good ending, you get married. You have to do like the after stuff where they have to figure out like how are we going to interact with each other, I suppose, like 'cause he still is like working with the police department and is still spending a lot of time, but he's also really nervous because he hasn't dated in a while and he's like trying to figure out what to do and he wants to feel natural, and they like go on a date and he buys her like three outfits. She's like, stop making me play dress up, please. Like, I just want to wear one of these. Ah. But they end up just, I guess, appreciating each other and being married.
Yay.
Yay! In the bad end, there's a dude who comes and like brings flowers to the wedding. And they're like, oh, huh, we didn't order these. That's interesting. That's weird. Oh, I guess I'll mention it here. But yeah, so there's the flowers, they think that's weird, and then somebody like tries to snipe Mika through the window of the church and they miss, and she's like, oh, that's bad. And then you leave the church with him and you find out that like his former like subordinate is actually the guy who's like helping with Crown, and he ends up shooting you, and you die in a wedding dress, and you're bleeding everywhere. You're like, no, I'm good, everything's fine. Bleed it. But in the good end, you do find out like, oh, hey, his subordinate is the one who's running Crown and running Crown with the cops, and he goes down and everything's all good, honky dory and all that fun stuff.
Did you say honky dory?
Honky dory. Is that not the right word?
Hunky dory.
Honky dory.
It's not like you said honky dory.
Honky dory.
Like with an O instead of a U.
Isn't that like a slur?
I mean, if you're white.
What? I know, but
which
like
means not really.
It's not a real slur. Like it's a fake slur, like cracker.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Just checking. Okay. So, so that's his. Like I said, he's cute and like a very sweet man throughout it. But at the same time, I'm just like, I can't with you, man. Then I dated Camu, who again is like aristocracy. With his route, you end up like going back to his family's house, and his dad like is trying to fix the situation. He's like, let's have dinner and let's talk it out and let's figure out what's going on and blah 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 blah, and ends up like putting his kid in a tux and is like, hey, we're gonna make sure that you're all good to go and blah blah. You end up you find out that like his dad is also working with Crown, because everybody works with Crown. And that he like stole your phone and is trying to like turn you over to Crown, and Kami's like, no, we're not doing that. So he bombs his house again and you run away. And you end up like running into some folks who you ran into in the common route, and basically people in Europe think that you're like revolutionaries, that like you're trying to fight the aristocracy, and that like there's this like love thing where he is the aristocracy man and you're like the lowly poor person from Japan, which like again problematic, and that he's like going against the landed class in Europe, and that y'all are bombing things, and you become like symbols of this revolutionary group, who then like take you under their wing and try and like boost you up, I guess, while like Kamu's like building bombs for them, because that's all normal, right?
Very.
Yeah. And you find out that like his mom died because his dad like tried to go against Crown at one point, so Crown killed his mom. Because Crown does everything. But they realize like, hey, this is out of control. Like, this is not the revolution that we're fans of. And like, everybody's too violent, and we don't want to be a part of this. It becomes a whole issue. Camu basically like builds out some like dummy bombs to try and like lessen the damage, I guess. It basically is like a confetti bomb instead of like a bomb. He's like, I just want to live a calm life with my love of my life, this Japanese woman. So yeah, you have to like fight against the revolutionaries, and you end up, I guess, winning. I don't remember how. It doesn't matter. This guy sucks. Anyway, he ends up proposing to you. You say yes. Great. Woo. But then you end up like still having to go through this like aristocracy thing where like you're part of the family and you have to go through this like debut ball type thing where you like are introduced to everybody as his fiance. Your friends come to this party and are trying to like blend in as people who should definitely be there. They're like, yeah, we have these totally real invitations, you see that? And like, oh, those are real. Like, it's fine. Rami's like trying to not steal things off of people, even though he really, really wants to. Just kind of funny. But it just feels weird that it's like, okay, so we just went back to the status quo of like he's a rich aristocracy kid and like we're just part of that now. So that felt weird. In the bad ending, you get stuck in a church and hold your own little wedding, and they get murdered by the revolutionaries. Yay! Woo! Then I did the Rami route, which is just trauma, the route.
Yay.
Yay!
Hasn't been enough of that.
No. Don't we need more trauma? Yeah. So again, Rami is he was an orphan and he's kind of like been going through it. Literally, like his entire route is just trauma, 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 trauma. He like ends up getting when you jump off the train. Do you remember I mentioned the train like really early on? You jump off the train and you end up having to like jump into a river with him. And then they find like a cave to hang out in, and he ends up falling asleep, but is like cold, and Mika's worried about him. So she starts trying to figure out like, do we try and like stay huddled together in these cold, wet clothes, or do we take the clothes off? And what do we do? And so she starts trying to take his clothes off, and then she sees he's like riddled with like these really nasty scars everywhere. And then he wakes up and panics and is like freaking out, pushes her away, and is trying to get his clothes back on, which like, yeah, that's valid. But then the whole time Mika's like, but what about those scars? What about the scars? So obviously that's gonna be a thing that comes up again. You find out a lot more about his past and how he lived in France. He's French, and he had some friends that he lived with at his orphanage, and some things went down that were gnarly. This is the reason why he was like so dedicated to trying to get that deed back to the orphanage early on, because he was concerned about orphanages and their like financial stability, because his orphanage was bought out by this like aristocrat man in France who basically like dumped a lot of money into it, but then took the kids in as like medical guinea pigs, where he would like test stuff on them. And one of the things that he would test was this like liquid that he could like put he would like give them as like a dropper type thing. And they would not remember anything that happened once they took that, and then they would actually do whatever he asked them to do. And so there was a lot of violence. Rami's like, yeah, every time I woke up from that, like I was just covered in more injuries and scars, and I don't remember what happened. And then the kids started disappearing one by one. He was like locked in this like mini closet room, very like Harry Potter-esque type thing, where he didn't have a light, and there were like all these scratches around the room that he left, which is really messed up. It's a lot. At one point, she does like hang out with him, and they're talking, and she's like, should I ask about this? And he's like, I'd rather you didn't. She's like, okay, well, I guess I won't ask about it. He's like, oh, okay, thank you. I appreciate that. But then they go back to the town with the orphanage, and Rami sees like the guy who did all that, and he realized like, oh, he's the person who bought this orphanage. The cycle is gonna continue. This is real messed up. And so Rami like disappears from their hotel at one point, And Mika like goes to look for him and ends up finding like the dead body of that man. She's like, "Rami, did you murder this guy?" And she follows him and realizes like he's got blood all over him. She's like, "Oh, no." Obviously he didn't murder him. Duh. But he was murdered by House Steward, the old man from Crown. Rami like has a complete breakdown at one point at like a castle. Just trying to is figure this stuff out. So they decide that they're going to like find the man's like lab where he was researching all this and destroy everything. And so they infiltrate it with the rest of your crew, and they find all the information. They find like the samples of the thing and all the stuff that's there. And then House Steward shows up and is like, "Ah, yes, I need to take all this for Chancellor. I will take that. Thank you very much." And Rami's like, "Nah, you're not." And he like knocks down the gate, but like the gate lands on House Steward and like breaks his legs. And Mika's like, "Oh, his legs are going in different directions. That seems bad."
Whoops.
Oops. But then she realizes like, "Oh, but now Rami's like stuck in there. He can't get out." So he's like, "Well, I guess this is the end of the line. I can't let this stuff exist, and you gotta go before everybody gets here. I have a bomb with me, so I'm just gonna blow this stuff up and see you on the flip side, man." And she's obviously real sad about that because he's just kind of resigning himself to death. And in the good ending, the explosion happens, they get her away from it. It goes like several days where she's just like despondent because Rami's dead, and she doesn't know what to do. And she hears like a bell sound because he, since he's the pickpocket, like he's really, really quiet. And all the dudes told him like, "Hey, wear a bell around you when you're around us, so we actually know that you're coming." So she hears a bell sound and then looks in the window, and he's like standing there, like in the window, and he's like, "Hey, I've come to steal you away. Let's go." And he like explains that he like hid by the safe, I guess. There was a safe with the information in it, and it was apparently like the strongest part of that. He hid by the safe and he survived, and everything's fine. The good thing about this one is they do remember about Crystal in this one, and they take her away, and they end up putting her in the orphanage, and she does fine. So she's safe in this one. So that's good. Yay. Yeah, and so in the epilogue of the good ending, they are like traveling around Europe, and they get a call from Christelle. It's like, "I need help because the man who runs the orphanage was trying to do parkour and he hurt his back." And I have to run this orphanage and I don't know what to do, and I need help feeding these kids, blah blah blah. And so like Rami and Mika go back and they like help run the orphanage with Christelle and this one kid. I forget his name, but and then they're like, "Why was he trying to do parkour?" And apparently there's like a parkour competition, and he was like trying to like get money and attention for the orphanage by doing the parkour competition. And they inform Rami, like, "Oh, by the way, there was like an outfit that he was gonna wear to like promo the orphanage." So Rami's like, "All right, well, I guess I'll just wear the outfit and I'll do the parkour." So he's doing parkour like dressed like basically a priest. Which is weird. But you would also find out on this one that, like, it was kind of the same as the Sally route, that, like, they had kissed in their route, but they had not really discussed what was going on with them. And they finally, like, discuss it at this point and realize, like, oh, by the way, like, I definitely do have feelings for you, and we should do something about that. So that's good. Also, he needs so much therapy. He needs so much therapy. In his bad end, he gets stabbed by Christelle and dies.
All right.
Yep. Christelle goes with them into the facility, and she is given some of the drug that tells people what to do, and she just stabs him and he dies. She was gonna stab Mika, but he got in front of her and bleh. Okay. So Ash's last route, Ash's best route. Yay, Ash. He's like, you know how this is gonna be a weird comparison. Are you ready for this?
Sure.
Do you know how people would always say to me, like, oh no, Maxwell, he looks so grumpy or he looks so sad? I'm like, no, that's just his face. Like,
Right.
he's really happy, I promise. That's Ash.
He looks like an alien.
Well, no, he doesn't look like an alien.
Oh.
Everybody just always thinks that he's mad or upset. And he's like, no, that's just my face. That's literally my face. Like, I'm fine. Everything's good. He's like, no, I'm okay. But their route starts off pretty tricky because they're on the run. They keep getting found by either Crown or the police, Europol, whatever. Like, they keep finding them. They're running out of money. They're running out of places to run. They run out of gas in the truck. So, like, they're going through it. At one point, like, some guy just wants to fight him because they're, like, eating food and sitting on a bench, and the guy thinks that he looks mad at him. He's like, I'm literally just eating dinner. Like, leave me alone. So they have to go so that he doesn't beat anybody up. So eventually they're just like walking through the woods because they ran out of gas, and then child nurse shows up and stabs him in the gut with a box cutter. And then she finds out that, like, the leader of Crown is actually dead. The Chancellor is not the leader of Crown, but the leader is dead, and she's like, I gotta go investigate this. This is bad. So Ash is bleeding a lot, and Mika is freaking out because they have, like, no supplies and no money and everything. So she finds a barn, and she, like, uses the last of their water to try and, like, clean his wound. He's kind of, like, delirious at this point because he's been stabbed in the gut by a box cutter. Like, a pretty big box cutter, not like it's a anime box cutter. And this old man comes in and he's like, oh, hi. You seem like you're going through some things. Are you okay? And Mika's like, yeah, we were out hiking and he fell and he got injured and now I don't know what to do. And so the old man's like, oh, well, y'all can come into my house and I'll help you treat him, and I have medication, and we'll feed him some good food and all that. So the first part of their route is just, like, them being cute domestic people living with this old man. They, like, take on fake names, and he's like, yeah, you remind me of my son and daughter-in-law, and I really like you, so let's hang out and let's make food together and let's drink beer. And Ash is like, none of that, none of the beer, but the rest of it sounds good. Let's do that. So they, like, really get into this whole, like, domestic lifestyle that's really, really cute. But then somebody, like, comes to check on the old man at one point, and they're like, those are wanted criminals. They're offering, like, a 60,000 euro reward for them, which seems very low, by the way. But everybody's like, oh no, we're gonna go grab the pitchforks and take them away. And so the old man's like, here's some money, here's some supplies. I knew all along who you were, but I didn't care. I value the time that we had together. Please leave. Also, you can take my son's motorcycle because y'all gotta go. Which was really cool. Thanks, old man. Appreciate you. So you're in the same situation again of like, where do we go? So Ash ends up taking you back to his hometown to go see his mom. And you find out that he like left when he was 16 and he hasn't been back. So they get to his mom's house and she calls him by his dad's name when he gets there, and he's like, where is dad? You found out his dad's dead. His mom thinks that he's the dad and thinks that Mika is his coworker from the mines. Which this has the potential to be really weird, but they didn't make it super weird, which is good. But you find out that like Ash's dad was a super alcoholic, he was really abusive, he lost a job in the mines. And so Ash was afraid because he was getting angry a lot and getting violent, and so he was afraid that he was gonna like kill his own dad, so he just left when he was 16 to try and avoid that situation. But he was reading through like the obituary in his mom's room and everything, and finds out like, oh, my dad got hit by a car, I guess, and he died. Which is not the truth, but that's what he thought at first. So, they end up doing their like love confessions and things. It's really cute. I like them a lot. Child nurse comes back and is like, "Hey, by the way, you're right. The leader is dead. That sucks. Don't like that. So I'm on your side now. Here's all this information." And then house steward shows up and moitas her. Ah. He found out that like his dad was also involved with Crown and was in debt to Crown, and basically like they were going to murder him, and he's like, "Well, can you like fake my death to look like an accident so that my wife can get insurance money?" So they did that, made it look like a car accident. And so all that's going on is pretty bonkers. And so they found all of this information from child nurse. They contact Rebecca, the news reporter, and like, "Hey, we have like the information. We need something to like we need to put it out there." They also like end up getting like a shoot, what's the name of it? A memory card with some like camera information, but I forget what it shows. But there's this like big showdown of like the crew's back together, everybody gets back together. Mika and Ash have to like get this memory card over to Rebecca. We have to protect her, blah blah blah. They end up like jumping over some cops on a motorcycle, which is cool. And they like Mario Kart it where they like get past the train and then the cops get stuck behind the train, so they got to stay there for a
Like
second.
how you describe that as Mario Karting it.
Because I think of Mario 64 and that one level with the train. If you get stuck behind the train, then you have to wait for a few seconds and you're gonna lose. And that's what happens. So they get the information. Oh, they get the camera information to clear Mika's name. They get the camera to show that House Steward is the one that killed that guy. That's what it is. So they have the memory card, they take it to Rebecca. Rebecca streams it. House Steward is mad and is trying to kill everybody, and that doesn't go well. Ends up like blowing up her van at one point, which is weird. But yeah, he goes down, they clear Mika's name, everything's fine. And so this one's actually really interesting because you get the good route, Mika's name's cleared, everybody's happy, Ash and her are in love. But then Ash is like, "I actually did assault somebody and I kind of have to do my time now. Like I guess I gotta go to prison for like 2.5 years. So like can you wait for me? Like we'll still talk and everything, but I gotta do this." So he's the one that's like, yeah, I did bad thing. I have to go. So that was different and weird, but Mika ends up like going to live with his mom and taking care of her and like helping her with her memory and like understanding that her husband is dead and is communicating with Ash. And then when Ash is due to get out, she drives the motorcycle over to pick him up, and he's like, you actually came, you waited for me, that's amazing, thank you, you learned to ride a motorcycle, that's pretty cool. So mom's memory is all straightened up. They go and like live with her for a bit, and in the epilogue they go and see the old man again to be like, hey, sorry about all that. We felt like we put you in danger, and that's kind of gnarly. And he's like, no, so here's the thing. Like, my son and my daughter-in-law are dead. They died in an accident. And I saw the two of, like, I saw them and the two of you, and I really appreciated getting to spend time with you and getting to eat some good food. And, like, it's been a long time since I had time with people. And so, you know, it was enjoyable. I liked it. Also, will you stick around for a minute? So they stay for, you know, a couple weeks, and they end up like planning their wedding because he's like, hey, have you thought about getting married? And they're like, oh, so he's like, well, I have the wedding outfits for my son and my daughter-in-law. They look like they probably fit you. If not, you can do some little tailoring, but like, why don't we do the wedding here? We have a really famous church. So they get married at this really famous church.
Whoa.
Yay. It's a really cute wedding. It's very pretty, except for there's a coffin in the back, so that's kind of weird. But I liked it. I like that story. He was really cute. I like that you have to like get past the whole like gruff bad boy thing to realize like, oh, he's actually a really sweet dude. He just doesn't know how to express it. I like emotionally constipated men in Otome games. I don't, this is probably a me problem. It's definitely a me problem. But he was my favorite by far. His bad ending is that like when you're trying to do the motorcycle escape, the cops end up shooting you both and you fall off the motorcycle and are trying to reach towards each other and you can't quite reach each other and you die, you both die. So that sucks. Nobody likes that.
Nope.
Right? No. Okay, so those are the routes for the most part. There is also a true route where you get to like save Christille and take down Crown. And this is the one that does like a lot of the big reveals, I guess. You find out that like in the plot, you find out that Chancellor is actually Christille's like biological dad. So that's real messed up that he's been like using her in this way. But you find out that like there's this guy who's been helping you named Bishop, and you never find out who Bishop is until you get to this point. You are looking around in Rome and trying to like find Crown and Chancellor and all that, and you find out that like there are a bunch of giant bombs set up under Rome, which is gnarly. And they end up like locking you into these like catacombs in Rome with these bombs. But at one point, like you're talking to Chancellor, and then like something happens with the lights, and then he like clicks over and he's like, I'm Bishop, I've been trying to help you. This guy's bad. He was over there. Where is he now? And they're like, does he have like a split personality? What's going on here? Turns out he does. He like murdered his wife in front of Christille, and at that point, like he had the mental break where he splits in the two. That's why she was silent the whole time, is because she literally saw her mom get murdered in front of her. Real messed up. the crew ends up like freeing Rome and being on the run, and Carlos tells them like, "Hey, go back to the house that you were at the beginning of the game," and he informs them that this was like the former like Queen of Crown's house, and you find out that like that was Mika's grandma because she's only half Japanese. Her mom and her grandma are European. And so grandma and mom both had this ability of the hand thing, and the grandma was like trying to protect the mom by sending her away to Japan with the person that she was in love with to try and like avoid this situation. But this was her grandma's house. She finds like a letter from her mom that was basically like, "Hey, if you found this, my plan didn't work and you ended up back in Europe and that sucks. I'm sorry about that. But like, here's how everything went down." Bah! So, pretty nice that we have some backstory dump via letter that mom left 20 years ago in Europe. Yay! Woo! But yeah, so you end up building up this whole plan of like, all right, we gotta take Chancellor down. So there's going to be this big meeting on this boat with all the European Union leaders, and some people are supportive of Chancellor and some people are supportive of the president of the European Union. And we gotta like reveal all of his crimes to everyone. Wow. And so he like has all these like evil haha plans that he's trying to pull off, and the crew is like, "Nah, we took care of that. We took care of this too. We took care of that. Like, you kind of suck at your job, man. Like, we fixed all this." So he's just gonna like take himself out, murder himself. And they won't allow that to happen. No bueno. So yeah, this is the takedown. He's the one who had the guy at the beginning murdered. He's the one who's been running the show. He's the one who's been pulling the strings about the anti-European Union people. He goes down. It's the end. Yay! And then we find out that Carlos this whole time has been like basically like a secret agent for the European Union. And he's been like trying to expose this whole like group this whole time. And other cults, and I don't know, some Illuminati, I don't know. So it's like the secret badass, which is weird. But you end up as a group. He's like, "Well, all of you but Mika have done wrong things. So you could go to prison, or I will acknowledge that you all have a special set of skills. That could be utilized for my spy European spy group." So, we could basically erase you as people. You don't get to go back to a normal life anymore. But you also don't have to go to prison. Your home base will be like out of the grandma's house. And you'll just help me whenever I need you to." And everybody's like, "All right, cool, we're in. That's fine." So that's how that goes down. And then like the epilogue for that one is that they all decide that they want to go on like a trip to like make good memories with each other. And so they like put names of places into a bag, and Mika is the one who has to like pull the places out of the bag so they can go to him, which turns out is a terrible idea because sometimes they were like having to backtrack quite a few times of like, "All right, we're going to this town. All right, now we're going to go to this town. Oh no, we're going to a town that's like 20 miles away from this other town. Well, this sucks. We gotta go right back." So they go around, they take pictures. They're making memories together. One of the places they end up going is like the side of the road where the van crashed. They're like, oh, it would have been nice to go here first. And like, yeah, I thought it might get drawn first, but it got drawn like last. So, oops. They go to Paris because they didn't get to go to Paris at all together. They go to Spain because they didn't go to Spain together. But then they go to all the other places where they went during the trips and like have good memories there instead of bad memories. And then Carlos calls them and is like, where the heck are you guys? I need you to do work. They're like, we're on a trip. We're making memories. Leave us alone. Like, you guys are terrible. Ah! So yeah, that's basically how it
I like
ends.
how this ends like it's a Fast and Furious movie.
It kind of does,
Where they're
right?
just like, okay, you guys are just secret agents now, also family. It's all about
It's all about
family.
family. It's all about family. Like I said, I love found family stuff. So like that stuff I was really, really into. And like a couple of the romance routes were nice, but like the romance was not the thing that was selling me on this game. It was the rest of it. But yeah, it was fine. It was a fun time. There was some weird stuff that happened in there, but like it's an Atome, of course there's some weird stuff that happens. What do you think?
Family.
Family. It's all about family.
It's all about family.
You want to rank it?
Let's rank this here Otome game. We have 46 games on the list. This will be game number 47, of course. Where would you like to start?
Where do I want to start?
Where?
Let's start at 30.
Number 30, all right. Is this better or worse than Variable Barricade?
I will say it is better.
Is it better than Psychedelica of the Ashen
I
Hawk?
will also say it is better.
Is it better than Hatoful Boyfriend Holiday Star?
I would say it is better.
Is it better than Tears of Themis?
I like Artem a lot, but I think it's gotta be better than that one.
Is it better than Cupid Parasite Sweet and Spicy Darlin'?
You said it right. You said it right. Good job.
All right, well, is it better than Winter's Wish Spirits of Edo?
Yeah.
Is it better than Cupid Parasite OG?
I don't think so.
All right, well, this is our new number 25.
25. It's not terrible.
Number 25 of 47.
It's not terrible.
Nah.
It had really good moments. I think there were some missteps, and I think that there were some things that I'm like, why did it play out the way that it did? And especially like plot points just getting dropped entirely was kind of weird. But I liked a lot of the characters. I liked a lot of the character interactions. I loved the found family aspect of it. So like, I can be forgiving. Again, the art's really pretty. The voice actors are great. So, heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
All right. Well, there's some more Otome for you.
Yay, Atome. I have another Atome to play, but I have other things that I'm doing at the moment, so it'll be a hot second before we get another Atome review.
All righty. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. So if you'd like more from us, head on over to seasonalanimecheckup.com or sac.cool where you can find past episodes of this podcast and other podcasts like Jared Now Watch. You can also find columns and reviews on the site as well. If you'd like more from AnnLadium, go to AnnLadium.com. She's got columns and reviews. You can follow us on Twitter and TikTok at Anime Checkup. Follow us on Blue Sky at seasonalanimecheckup.com. You can buy our books, One Shiny Moment, A Critical Analysis of Love, Life, Sunshine, Hot Tubs, and Pac-Man on Amazon.com. And you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/sacova. Buy us a slice of pizza, get access to unedited versions of the podcast early. Our monthly exclusive Patreon podcast, which I'd have to come up with an idea for
You
us to
do.
watch.
You do.
Because it is about that time.
Yeah, probably this weekend.
Probably this weekend, for sure.
Which would be when this comes out, because it
For
comes out on the
sure.
weekend.
For sure. So, yeah, I'll figure something out for that.
I
We'll
believe
watch
in you.
it.
I believe in you. You got this.
You can also find a bunch of other stuff on the Patreon as well. A bunch of other bonus fun stuff to do and watch and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Next week, we'll discuss something else. That's it. That's all I know.
Yeah.